I was planning on going a different direction today, but having a funeral this week, just the thought gripped me. I wonder what they're doing right now in heaven. I think if we could see them, it would bring encouragement to our heart. When we saw their smiles, when we saw their joy, when we saw their excitement of heaven. Oh, I'm sure that they miss their loved ones, but heaven is so wonderful. And it started me on a path, and I can't do justice by doing this whole chapter, but I just want to point out some highlights today of heaven. And all that awaits those who know Jesus as their Savior. If you were to go to Valladolid, Spain, you would find a statue of Christopher Columbus with a lion. And the lion is tearing off Spain's motto. Well, Spain's motto is Ni plus ultra, which means no more beyond. And Christopher Columbus, in selling the world, he showed them that there was more beyond. Well, I'm here today and saying, folks, listen to me. This life as we know, this world as we know, is not all that there is. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. There is more beyond that awaits us when we take our last breath in the here and now. You say, well, what is heaven like? Well, the Bible tells us that there are actually three heavens. There is the atmospheric heaven. That's where the birds fly. And then there's the planetary heaven where the sun, moon, and stars reside. The planets reside. And then what we're going to look at today is called the third heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was called up into that third heaven, and that's where God resides. That's where when we take our last breath in this life, we're going to instantaneously be with God in that third heaven. So what John is talking about here in Revelation 21 is what awaits us in that heavenly city with God. So this morning, four descriptions of heaven. Sermon's entitled, I Wonder What They're Doing Right Now in Heaven. First description I want you to see is the reality of heaven. Revelation 21 verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So this new heaven and new earth are real, actual places. Verse 15, we are given the measurements of this city. Verse 18, we're given the materials of this city. Jesus never taught us to say, well, our Father, which art in a state of mind. No, no, no. He said, our Father, which art in heaven. It's a real place. Ezekiel didn't write, I saw a wishful thought open to me. No, no, no. He wrote, I saw heaven opened unto me. The martyr Stephen didn't say, behold, I see a fantasy open and the Son of Man standing there on the right hand of God. No, 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 no. He said, I saw heaven open and the Son of Man standing there on the right hand of God. It is a real, actual place, more real than Bennett, North Carolina, or Raleigh, or New York, or Atlanta, or any place. It is a real place. Look on the verse. Saw a new heaven, new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So we learn about that in 2 Peter, how everything is going to be destroyed. So that atmospheric heaven and the planetary is going to be heaven. But then he tells us that this new heaven is going to come down out from God. And that is that third heaven that we just described. Look on the verse. passed away and there was no more sea. So this new world is going to be different. When it says there's no more sea, it's talking about there's no more oceans. You say, well, there's no more oceans? The earth is now bathed in God's antiseptic solution called salt water. And it brings cleansing to our dirty, polluted world. Well, in heaven, there is no dirt. There is no dust. And all of the ladies said amen. And there's no pollution, so we don't need the oceans. There will be bodies of water in heaven, but there will be no ocean. Now you say, oh, I don't know about that. Friend, listen. When you are in heaven, never for one single second will you miss anything about this earth. Did you hear what I said? Never for one millisecond will you say, oh, I miss that little deep river. Or I miss old Myrtle Beach. Or I miss old Grandfather Mountain. You will never for one millisecond miss it. You say, how do you know that? Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. It's gone. It's all. It's kind of like you don't remember being in your mother's stomach. Well, I know that happened. I know that was there. But I don't long for that anymore because you're in such a better place. And that's what it's going to be like in heaven. You say, Pastor, where is heaven? Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 9 tells us it's up. It says, and when he had spoken these things, talking about Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So where is heaven? Up. But Pastor, where is heaven? Well, the Bible tells us it's in the north. Psalm 75, verse 6. Now notice this. You have to put the pieces together. For a promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another. So he says promotion. God doesn't promote. He doesn't promote from the east, from the west, or the south. Notice what he doesn't mention. The north. You say, I don't know about that. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. And I could show you numerous verses, but we got places to go and people to see. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. Where does it come out to the congregation? In the sides of the north. The north is a fixed position on this earth. And wherever you are, the North Pole is always up. We go up north. We go down south. The North Pole is related and is tied to the North Star. So where is heaven? It's up north. Where is heaven? It's a long ways away. And yet, it's very close. It's so close, Jacob's ladder could reach all the way to heaven. It's so close that the angel could come down on resurrection morning and roll that stone away so the disciples could get in. It's so close that the old saint of God, John on the island of Patmos, was called up into heaven instantaneously. It's so close that the last breath you take on this earth, you are immediately transformed into heaven in the presence of God. Where is it? It's up. It's up north. It's far away, and yet it's very close. Where is heaven? Heaven is where Jesus is. That's where heaven is. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Philippians chapter 1 verse 23 says, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ. John 14, verse 3, and I go to prayer place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. The moment you die and take your last breath, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are immediately, instantaneously transported from this life into heaven, into the presence of Jesus for all of eternity to live forever and ever and ever. The reality of heaven. Secondly, notice the rules of heaven. Look at verse 3. Heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Notice this next phrase. "And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." What makes heaven heaven is the presence of God Almighty. Heaven is where God is. We will live with God. He will dwell with us. We will be in close proximity to the Creator of this universe. Jesus promised his disciples he would eat with them in the kingdom. Now, I've been out to eat with a lot of you guys, and I've really enjoyed it. Especially if you were buying it. Can you imagine what it's going to be like eating supper with your Savior? Be eating supper with the one who suffered and bled and died so that you could be in heaven. Glory to God! Heaven is sounding more beautiful all the time. Going to heaven without Jesus would be about as foreign a concept as a bride going on her honeymoon without her groom. Oh, heaven is all about Jesus, and we're going to be there with him. Notice verse 4. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Human hands can wipe away tears, but the tears return. But when the heavenly hands wipe away tears, they never, ever, ever return. Notice this, man. If I wasn't a Baptist, I would be waving my hanky today. No more broken hearts in heaven. No more broken health in heaven. No more broken hopes in heaven. No more broken homes in heaven. It will be wonderful to be in a land where there's no hospitals. Forgive me, nurses, but you're going to be unemployed in the nursing profession. No more medicine. I hope my doctor's not listening. No more doctors. No more graves. No more cemeteries. No more obituary columns. No more funeral processions. Death has been swallowed up in victory because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, you're not permitted here. Go away. No more death. Look at verse 6. He said unto me, "It's done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Jesus will meet every need we have in heaven. Now, Amazon is trying to be our supplier for everything that we have, so they're their one-stop shop. They won't be successful, but Jesus will be. Everything you need in heaven, Jesus will be your provision. Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He is our creator. He is our the conclusion. He is the connection. He will satisfy everything we need and every longing we have. Look at verse 7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, And I will be his God, and he will be my son. So God gave Adam the first estate, the earth. But Adam sinned and he lost his inheritance and he lost the estate. But Jesus, the second Adam, he will once again regain our inheritance and give it back to us and allow us once again to rule and reign with him for those who accepted him as our Savior. Verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. None of those people will be there. And yet all of us are those people. Oh, you look good today, but all of us have done many of those sins. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a Redeemer. That's why we need Jesus. Jesus, forgive us of our sins. We commit our life to you. We're going to be your follower. And thank you for paying our sin debt. Thank you for taking our hell so that we could take your heaven. In heaven, it will be a sweet, safe, and secure place to live. No need to lock your doors at night, for there will be no more night there. No need to fear the criminal, for there will be no criminals there. No need for policemen or jails or courts or judges, because righteousness and holiness will abound forever and ever and ever. The rules of heaven. Thirdly, and we got to move on quickly. Notice the radiance of heaven. Look at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Notice this, and I can't describe it. Having the glory of God. And her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So let me just make two thoughts. Heaven will radiate and it will exude God's glory. You say, describe God's glory. I'm just not able to adequately. When Solomon dedicated his temple, the glory came down and it filled the temple so that the priests had to stop ministering there. It was just overwhelming. They had to leave the building. On the road to Damascus, Paul was going to persecute the church. And he met Jesus and his glory was so overwhelming, so bright, it knocked him to the ground. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord? What? How can I describe this?" I can't. But it will be bright. It will be breathtaking. It will be awe-inspiring. The glory of God. But notice this. That jasper stone, you see that? Look at verse 15. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So this city is almost like a square or a cube. So it's 12,000 furlongs wide. And it's 12,000 furlongs long. Well, how long is a furlong? Bible scholars tell us it's between 1,400 and 1,500 miles. Now, let me give you an idea. Ancient Alexandria was 30 furlongs in length. Jerusalem, 33 furlongs. Babylon, 120 furlongs. New York City, 400 furlongs. London, 325 furlongs. This new city, which is not all of heaven, it's just kind of like the capital city. is 12,000 furlongs. Imagine a city, and here's what scholars have told us, that would stretch from the tip of Maine to the tip of Florida. One city. And from the East Coast to the Mississippi River. It's a big, big place. So large that it would cover all of Ireland, all of Great Britain, all of France, all of Spain, all of Germany, all of Austria, all of Italy, all of Turkey. It's a big, big place. You say, well, why is it so big? My opinion, it's God telling us there's room in heaven for you. You can go there, but there's only one way to get there, and that is through Jesus. Oh, it's a big place, but it's a beautiful place. Look at verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. So this wall that's surrounding, and I know this is probably not popular, but in heaven there's a wall. Do with it what you want to. It's 144 cubits. So how far is a cubit? 18 inches. So Bible scholars tell us this wall is 218 feet high. So it's a big wall. Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. So jasper usually is red in color, but occasionally it's yellow and green and maybe a grayish blue. My thought is, the outside of this city of heaven, the outside of this wall, I think is going to be red. So every time we come up, we realize I'm here in heaven for one reason, the blood of a spotless lamb. I'm a sinner. I'm in that list that should never be here. But Jesus paid for my sin. Jesus took my hell. So I'm here for one reason only, the blood of a spotless lamb. I'm really running out of time. Verse 21, 12 gates with 12 pearls. Every several gate was of, notice that, one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So if you have walls that are 216 feet high, you got to have a gate about the same size. So these are big gates. And that was a big old animal that made that one pearl. For that one gate, that's just humongous. But notice the last phrase. And the street of the city was pure gold. Now we know gold and that shiny figure, and we know what bad gold is, where a husband buys his wife that cheap gold and it turns blue. But this is absolutely pure gold. It is so pure, it's not that color. It is crystal clear. And there's boatloads of it. It's at the whole wall in the streets. It's all made of pure gold. Someone has described it like this. No poet has the words to describe it. No artist has the skills to depict it. No theologian has the knowledge to define it. The city is of a dazzling beauty and grandeur that is indescribable. Friend, listen to me. Heaven is absolutely overwhelmingly beautiful, prepared for you. Number three, the radiance of heaven. Number four, and I'm done. The ruler of heaven. Look at verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Jesus Christ is the Lord of this city. He is the sum. He is the substance of heaven. If you want to know what heaven is, it is the Jesus city. It's not pearly gates. It's not golden streets. It's not the angelic choir that makes heaven heaven. You could lock the gates. You could close the streets. You could tell the choir to be quiet. But if you have Jesus, you still have heaven. Look down at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. So Jesus is not only the light of this world, He is the light of His world. There is no sun, there is no moon, there is no stars, because Jesus is the lighting source. Look at verse 5, chapter 22, verse 5. Shall be no night there, neither need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the God giveth them light, and they shall shine forever and ever. If you've ever flown into a city at night, you see all of the lights of the city radiating. If you were to come into the lights of heaven, it's not lighted by the homes or the cars or the street lights. It's lighted up and lit up by the King of the city, by the Lord of the city, by the Savior of the city. Heaven is heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how do I make reservation to get to heaven? I want to go there. How do I get there? In a few days, we'll be going on our family vacation. My parents will be going. My brother and his wife and his kids will be going. My sister and her husband, who we really don't like, and their kids will be going. And then our family will be going. We have a lot of friends. We don't take friends on our family vacation. It's just for family. We have a lot of acquaintances. We may see some people while we're on vacation. But we don't take acquaintances with us to stay in that one house when we're on family vacation. It's for family. Friend, do you want to know how you go to heaven? You got to be a part of the family. Some of you know Jesus. You know of Him. You're an acquaintance of Him. You're familiar with Him. You're friendly with Him. But you've never been adopted into the family. You say, well, how do I get into the family? Yesterday I was in Greenville, South Carolina, doing a wedding. And these two kids, they were so pure, and they were so in love, and they were so infatuated with Jesus and with each other. And when it came time to do the vows, they're crying. And they're saying, yeah, I want to commit myself to that person. Yes, 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 I do, I will. Whatever the rules, whatever I say, I won't do and I will do. I want to commit myself to them because I love them. You want to go to heaven? You got to get in the family. You say, well, how do I get in the family? You realize that you're a sinner. All of that list that those people that won't be there, that's you. That's me. You need somebody to die and take your sin penalty and your hell so that you can go to heaven. And Jesus was that one. So you say, say, Jesus, I don't know why you would die for somebody like me, but you did. I believe that, and I accept you. I commit my life to you. I want to be in your family. I want to be your servant. I want to be your follower. Yes, Jesus, 1,000 times. Yes, 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 yes. Friend, that's how you get to heaven. Not by being a member of this church, not by being dunked in a tank. You get to heaven one way, by getting into the family. How do you get into the family? Jesus, I do. I do. I do. If you've never done it, friend, today, do it. D.L. Moody had a dream about heaven. He was standing outside of those walls looking in, and he saw a group of people approach the gate, and he saw them go through the gate into heaven. He said, who are those people? He said, all those people, those are the great patriarchs found in the Old Testament. D.L. Moody said he hung his head because I'm not a patriarch. He saw another group coming that was a little bit bigger, a little bit larger. And they came, they approached the gate, and they went on in. And he said, who are those people? Oh, those are the prophets, and those are the apostles. He hung his head. He said, well, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the apostles. I can't go in. And he saw another group, and it was a larger group, and they came and they went in. He says, hey, who are those folks? So those are martyrs, those that gave their lives for Jesus. They died, they were tortured, they were burned, they were killed, they were beheaded. And he hung his head. He says, I'm not one of them. And then there was another large group, a big group. And they was walking up to the gate. And he says, I recognized a few of them. One of them was that alcoholic that I led to Jesus. One of them was that prostitute that I told her Jesus loved her. And one of them was that little boy that I led to Jesus. I saw him and I said, hey, who's that group? And the angel said, those are the ones that have had their robes dipped in the blood of the Lamb, and they're here because of Jesus' sacrifice. Amen. And D.L. Moody said, that's me. I can't go to heaven because of the sacrifice of Christ. Friend, if you want to go to heaven, you can today. There's one way. The blood of a spotless Lamb.